City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm.
Rob McLaughlin on City Talk 105.9.
Since 2003, Congress has been led by a local lad, Brendan Barber, born in Southport, educated at St Mary's in Crosby, then a direct grant grammar school. And today he will launch a new economic strategy warning against public sector cuts. But is he preparing for a Tory government? And does the TUC matter? We've already met him, but good morning once again, Brendan.
Good morning.
Do you get up here much? Presumably you do for the football.
Yeah, a little bit. I try and get up to Goodison as often as I can. And I've got family still in Southport. My brother's still lives there. So I'm up in the region pretty often, yeah.
Now, this afternoon you are going to unveil this economic strategy from the TUC. What effectively is it?
Well, it's about the measures that we think the government needs to take immediately to deal with the recession, and we've still got huge problems, in particular the level of unemployment and unemployment amongst young people. So we want the focus absolutely centrally to be on that issue. But longer term, we need to create a different kind of economy. I mean, we got into this mess because we put too much emphasis on financial services, on the banks, not enough emphasis on keeping a good, strong industrial base. So looking a little bit longer term, the government needs to start doing the things now that can give us that better balanced economy.
Is that really achievable, though? Because after 12, whatever it'll be next year, 13 years of Labour government, if they aren't going to rebalance the economy over that period, they're not going to be able to do it now, are they?
But I think the world's changed. I mean, and I think this crisis that we've been going through has forced new thinking. I mean, governments had to do things that a few years ago you would have said, you know, you'd have been regarded as barking mad.
Like nationalising the banks.
If you'd said that you were going to see the banks nationalised, for example. If you'd said that the Bank of England would be putting literally hundreds of billions of pounds extra into the economy through this so-called quantitative easing, I mean, you'd have just been regarded as, you need the men in the white coats to come and take you away. But the government has had to respond dramatically. And
but we
to be fair, I think they've done very well in responding to the crisis. But we've got to now think, what else do we need to do to create a different kind of economy?
You were recently at the Chequers meeting that's been called the Balti Summit, because apparently it was over Indian food.
Yeah.
Is Gordon Brown listening to what you're saying?
I think he is. And I think we've begun to see some new thinking in the government. Certainly, I think the government is absolutely committed to doing what they can to minimise unemployment and to try and get people back to work. I mean, we saw in previous recessions...
If that's true, why have they allowed Germany to call the shots over the future of Vauxhall Motors?
Well, I don't think they have. I don't think the deal has come out as we would have wanted, but I don't think that was through lack of effort on the part of government. I think the Prime Minister and Peter Mandelson have been working on that very, very intensively with GM for, you know, right since it became clear that the issue of a possible sale of the European part of the business came up.
But when Peter Mandelson says that he is hopeful or confident that the two Vauxhall plants will stay in England, in Luton, of course, and at Ellesmere Port, do you believe him? Do you think they will stay?
I certainly hope so. And he has, as of the unions, been talking intensively with Magna to try and make sure that that is the case, and that's the outcome.
This is the new Canadian owner?
Yeah, the new Canadian outfit that are now going to be assuming control.
And you don't feel that your government or the Labour government has been wrong-footed by the whole process with GM, because it did look to an outsider for a long time that they did leave it to Angela Merkel, and she has called the shots over the future of Opel.
No, well, I don't think that would be a fair criticism of the government. I mean, the idea that they were just sort of indifferent and letting Merkel get on with it is not an accurate account of what's happened. I know how much they've been working on it.
Can you say this morning whether there will be job losses at Vauxhall?
No. I mean, I don't know. And clearly there are now, it's only a couple of days since the news has emerged of the final decisions. There's now got to be clearly talks with the new owners about exactly what their plans are, and looking to ensure that that the jobs and the plants in the UK are safe.
In a nutshell, is your new economic strategy leave the public sector alone? Are you really saying don't impose heavy cuts, leave us alone, because actually you could add to the problems and we can help the economy?
To just say leave it alone isn't quite right. But we're certainly saying, look, the worst thing you could do now is cut public spending while we're still in recession. And you look around the major economies, and I think we'll see this at this next G20 summit. You know, the Prime Minister's going to the United States next week. We just had a meeting of the finance ministers. All the major economies accept that government has to continue to support their economies until a much stronger recovery is in place than we've got at the moment. We've got some first signs of a possible recovery, but we certainly haven't got a recovery properly coming through.
So what do you say then to the people who took part in the Sunday Times poll, where 60% of them are saying, actually, we would prefer cuts in the public sector rather than have tax rises?
Well, I think it all depends what question people are being asked. If people are being asked, do you want to see your taxes rise? And that's the implication that most people will attach to just a general question about tax cuts. I'm not surprised people say, of course, I don't want to see taxes rise. And if in a very general sense, you say, well, shouldn't the public services costs be reduced a little bit? You say, oh, yeah, of course, those public services somewhere over there that don't affect me. But when it becomes real, what does this actually mean potentially in terms of the health service? Does it mean that, for example, the guarantees that we've now got, if you're a cancer patient, that you get a reference within 2 weeks to the consultant, you don't have to wait weeks and so on? These improvements that have been gradually being delivered by Labour in government, that those are going to be taken away, then you start getting a different response.
But isn't that special pleading? Because a lot of people will turn round and say the problem with Labour over the last 12 years is that they put a lot of money, you mentioned it, health service. They put £90 billion into the health service, more than we've ever had. And actually, the trade unions have blocked the reforms that Tony Blair wanted to make. Tony Blair, famous speech, of course, when he said he always wanted to go further with reform, and he's got the stripes on his back to prove that he couldn't do it. Isn't that the problem, that your members, or certainly some of your members in the unions there, have blocked reforms?
We've seen huge changes, huge reforms. In schools, there's been a transformation with, for example, tens and tens of thousands of teaching assistants taking on new roles, working with teachers
but
in
Brendan,
the classroom.
But, Brendan, I was talking about the health service.
Yeah, in the health service. It's just a couple of years since we saw what was called the Agenda for Change Agreement. Radical transformation in pay structures and systems for NHS staff. Staff taking on, again, new responsibilities. Nurses taking on different responsibilities that previously used to be just for doctors. Massive changes have taken place.
But the price the government have paid for that is through the Warwick Agreement at Warwick University, where they've had to protect the pensions of the public sector. And that arguably is now unfundable.
No. The agreement that was reached on pensions, it was in 2005, was actually nothing to do with the so-called Warwick process, which is the internal Labour Party policy-making procedure.
It was one of the key elements. One of the key elements was looking after pension payments.
Well, pensions as an issue and looking to preserve decent pensions for people.
So it was a key part of the Warwick Agreement.
Of course, but the specific agreement that was reached in respect to the public services, pensions of public service workers, wasn't part of the Warwick process. But look, that agreement involved significant change. Areas of the public services that for a long time had a retirement age of 60, that retirement age went up to 65. A major change for people who'd come into areas of work with that expectation.
But do you accept the given
world looking ahead that the retirement age would have to go up? So kind of major concessions were made by unions in the interest of the long-term sustainability of the pensions that members get.
And for your continued support of the Labour Party, because there was a danger at that time that if they didn't agree to the Warwick Agreement, if they didn't come to the table and agree things with you, you would have actually, some of your unions would have walked out the Labour Party.
It's not quite like that, you know. I mean, within the Labour Party, TUC is not affiliated to the Labour Party. Some of our unions are. The TUC itself isn't. Of course the unions want to play their part and shape the policies.
And not put
they've supported the Labour Party. They formed the Labour Party to provide a political voice for working people. So I don't see anything wrong at all. And the way the Conservatives sometimes attack this, I think the Labour Party is hugely enriched by having the experience of unions as an integral part of the way they think about
policy. And it's not a gun. It's not a
future.
Gun to the government's head.
It's not a gun to the government's head. Absolutely not.
Do you agree with one of your colleagues, Derek Simpson, who's the co-chief executive of Unite, who said on Friday in the Daily Mirror that New Labour, Gordon Brown, is like the Monty Python parrot? It's dead.
I certainly wouldn't use that language. I think Labour have got a fighting chance still to win the next election. A lot of pundits are saying, you know, the polls are very gloomy for Labour. I think Labour have got a lot of work to do to get across their messages.
Do you want Labour to go more left wing?
I want. I don't see it in this simplistic kind of left-right language that's normally used. I do think they've got to get across more powerfully that at the heart of the kind of economy we've got to rebuild, there is a different emphasis on fairness, and I want to see that reflected in the tax system. I think we are going to see.
You mean
taxes.
The rich should pay more?
Yeah, I do.
Well, why is that fair?
Because I don't see why, for example, the issue of capital gains. If you make money on investments, you're taxed through what's called capital gains tax. The rate at which capital gains tax is charged is 18% compared to the normal income tax rates of over 20% or top
Brendan,
rate of 45%.
But Brendan, now, that could be a house. That could be a house that you inherit.
Yeah,
from a relative.
It could be.
Doesn't mean you're a rich person. It means you're inheriting a house from a relative. Why should you pay 40%?
Well, there are big relief. I mean, under the last Conservative government, capital gains tax was at the same rate as income tax. Now, the Labour government changed that. Now, they changed it for an honourable reason. They wanted to encourage investment
and
entrepreneurialism. But the outcome has been that, for example, the guys who run the private equity industry, who make massive amounts of money, are paying tax. As one of them said, he was ashamed that he was paying tax at a lower rate than the cleaner who cleaned his house, and he was right to be
ashamed. But forgive
me,
that's a separate issue to someone inheriting a house from their parents who may have worked very hard
all their lives.
Inherit a house, you sell a house. Why should you pay 40% tax on that?
Well, there are big allowances that you don't start paying capital gains until you've benefited to a certain level and so on. So those kinds of issues about the circumstances where someone inherits a house, of course you can look at how you deal with those. I'm making a more general point.
You want the rich to pay more.
That I want the rich to pay more. And capital gains tax is one area where you could see a reform that would mean that the rich would fairer contribution.
You want us to pay more taxes rather than reform the public services in the health service and local government?
No, Rob, I want to see reform of the public services. I want to see them continue to develop and improve, and so do unions. But do I want to see cuts that would diminish the public services at a time when the economy needs supporting? That I certainly don't want to see.
We're running out of time. Let me ask you, I'm sorry, May, we're running out of time. I've got to go to the news. But let me ask you a final quick point, Brendan, which is, you said a moment ago the TUC is not affiliated with the Labour Party. Some of your members are. Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister, I think, is speaking at your conference, I think, on Tuesday. Why not invite David Cameron?
Well, it's not been our tradition to invite the leader of the Conservative Party.
Liberal Democrat leader's been, hasn't it?
Liberal Democrat leader has been. Yeah, it's not been our custom. Of course, the relationship with Labour is a different one because so many of our unions do affiliate to the Labour Party. There's a kind of empathy, if you like, in the relationship between the trade union movement and the Labour Party that's not traditionally been there with the Conservative Party.
I would
like to think that the Conservative Party will be thinking about its relationship with unions in perhaps a different way to the last Conservative government led by Margaret Thatcher and then John Major.
You've had a private meeting, I understand, with David Cameron. Can you work with David Cameron?
Time will tell. I've certainly met David Cameron. I've met Nick Clegg as well, of course, the leader of the Liberal Democrat Party. And I see it as my business to try and make sure that all the mainstream parties understand the concerns that unions have, representing millions of people at work.
I think my question was, can you work with David Cameron?
Well, time will tell. If David Cameron and the Conservative Party win the next election, then I'd want a business-like relationship with a Conservative government.
Derek Simpson says Gordon Brown should go and Ed Miliband should replace him. That's what he said in the Daily Mirror on Friday. Do you think Gordon Brown should go?
I don't think Gordon Brown should go. And I think Gordon Brown will lead the Labour Party into the next election. And
to defeat or to victory?
Personally, I hope to victory, and I hope that this week he'll come to the TUC with some very positive messages about the approach that the government are going to take, still in the face of this difficult recession, and with a vision about a different kind of economy with fairness at its heart.
Brendan Barber, it's been a real delight to meet you and a real delight for you to come onto the programme this morning. I hope you have a great conference in Liverpool.
I'm looking forward to it.
And I hope you'll bring the TUC back. Look, we brought the sun
out
for you.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful.
Waking you up on Sunday, Rob McLaughlin, City Talk 105.9.
Listen and log on to the voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.